Audio version of Michael Leitman's blog. August 2nd, 2023. Not destruction but restoration. Question: do I understand correctly that if we do not increase love, then ordinary actions are not enough and in any case there will be destruction? Answer: I do not think there will be destruction. I hope we are going through everything in our intentions, and therefore we should see before us not the destruction, but the restoration of the right relations between us and in them the beginning of the right relations in the whole world. Question: but Rubesh in the article What is Unfounded Hatred in the Work writes that they did everything, but did not increase sanctity, and therefore the temple was destroyed. We also do everything, but if we do not increase love and do not ask for it, will the destruction come? Answer: no, it will not come. We must believe that the Kabbalists are paving the road for us, and we can restore the correct mutual connection between all the souls. Question: how can we ask correctly for the treasure of a free gift so that the Creator will give us love, after all? Answer: this is a special light that descends from above and elevates us above our egoism, above all of our calculations. It turns out that we can connect with each other with the ties of love and friendship, despite our primordial egoism. So it will be, although it is not very simple, and it takes time. From the first part of the Daily Kabbalah Lesson July 26, 2023. The writing of Rubesh, What is Unfounded Hatred in the Work? According to the sorrow, so is the reward. Question: the sources speak about reward. Is it correct to say that according to the effort one makes so will be the reward? Answer: that is absolutely right. That is why it is said, according to the sorrow, so is the reward. Question: I did not understand this for a long time, but today I finally understood and felt great, sincere joy from it. What happens to a person when the essence of what has been said suddenly becomes clear to him? Answer: he simply receives a very small portion of the upper light. Question: at the corporeal level, the concept of sorrow is associated with some kind of torment. But Kabbalah says, sorrow is a feeling of hunger. That is, the more hungry a person feels, the more he will feel the pleasure from eating. It turns out that the more spiritual hunger we have, the more pleasure we will receive from the fact that the Creator fills us with light. Is it true that I should feel not my own hunger but the hunger of my friends in the ten? If I start preparing a meal for them and they begin to receive fulfillment, it will be a great pleasure. Answer: I think we should aim to feel the lack of a kli, vessel. What do we still lack so that we can attract the Creator, fill him, feel our real kli, real desire and deficiency, Hisaron. From the Daily Kabbalah Lesson July 25, 2023. According to the sorrow, so is the reward. The convergence of two worlds. The gradual descent of the upper world into our world, its approach to us, gives a feeling of crisis in our world. The fact is that the upper network is an integral, balanced system, full of love, compassion, and mutual interaction. As it approaches the material world, it awakens forces that are completely foreign to it, like induction leads. They are called the surrounding light, which acts at a distance like a magnet, like an inductor, that penetrates from the coil to a lower level. There is a colossus hanging over our world that is slowly descending to it, like in movies about the arrival of aliens. Therefore, our world feels a crisis because we are in contradiction to what descends on us from above. This is a terrible condition. If we do not become like the upper world, we will be almost completely destroyed. Only a small fraction of people will remain who, in the end, from the enormous suffering they have experienced, will realize the need to rise above their egoism to the platform that is descending to us and will reach balance with it. Even if we want to get rid of these huge extraterrestrial forces, we still cannot. We can only become like them. From CAB TV's I Got a Call, Who influences Leitman? August 20, 2011. View from a single soul. Question: how did the history of Christianity develop? Answer: the development of Christianity historically was based on conquests so that Christianity would spread throughout the world. All wars were of religious nature because in this way humanity was preparing for the realization that there is a creator and that it is necessary to somehow approach him, to come in contact with him. People had to go through these stages in the measure of the breakage of the souls after the one common soul had been divided into three parts, right, left, and middle. Since then, they have not been connected to each other as they should be in a united corrected soul because they have broken into many parts, into pluses, minuses, and all kinds of neutral parts. These different parts form the remnants of their attitude to the Creator. In other words, this is the same Kabbalah that in its corrupted earthly form, in the right, left, and middle, is a religion, Christianity, Muslim, and Judaism. In this way, these religions correspond to the state of humanity today, defective, broken, and egoistic. And then the true correction will begin to become clear. It consists of rising above religions and above our world in the correction and unification of humanity. Then all religions will be completely unclaimed in their highest form. They will remain as a culture of these masses that will not contradict each other. You have this kind of a culture, you are used to this kind of food, and I am accustomed to something else. You like to wear a red shirt, and I like to wear a white one. Who cares? That is, religions will remain at our previous level because we will rise above from it like a rocket. We will leave them on earth along with our bodies, and we ourselves will look down on them from our souls. And in the meantime, the souls will unite and correct in one soul as in their single source. From CapTVs I got a call. Three Religions, July 30, 2011. Unfriendly sea. Question: in the past, you and Rabesh used to go to the sea every morning, and this habit has stayed with you until now. Is there any meaning to it, the water and sand? Why the sea specifically and not the forest? Answer: the sea is the most beneficial thing that can be. However, in our time, it has become entirely different. It is either a lot of jellyfish or huge waves. The rise of the ocean and seas globally has become quite noticeable. Where once there used to be a coastal strip about 100 to 150 meters wide, it has narrowed to 50 meters. All of this is compressed on a narrow coastal strip, which no longer allows walks or strolls. Over the past years, the very essence of the sea has completely changed. Now, you do not feel the same sea as before. It has become unfriendly, menacing, and unloving to us, as if it is not part of nature close to us. These transformations form the entire Earth's climate. I feel and know the sea very well. I sense an unpleasant force within it toward humanity. Lately, unfortunately, it seems to convey negative thoughts. From CapTVs I got a call. The Great Mystery of Water, August 20, 2011. Self-examination. Question: how do you constantly make an accurate assessment of the correctness of actions? Answer: let's say you woke up in the dark, you do not understand, do not know, and do not feel anything. Slowly you go through your morning routine and go out into the street, into the world. You buy a newspaper, listen to the radio, talk to people. You are gradually entering the world where you live, moving away from sleep. This is what I do too. I enter the spiritual world, receive information, sensations, interactions, everything that exists in it. I feel a great amount of energy and information. I feel present, past, and future, and how all the parts of this vast system act together in absolute harmony. I get incorporated into it as much as I can with all my soul and mind, and it tunes me up. I, as a small element of a great system, want to get incorporated in it, and it affects me, makes me its integral part. After that, I can talk to the students and feel where I really am. From CabTV's I Got a Call. Self-examination, September 13, 2011. Michael Lehtman, on Quora, when does having an ego become a problem? The ego is the desire to enjoy at the expense of others, and the problem with it is precisely in that it makes us think and act at the expense of others. It blocks us from seeing how we are one with all the people of the world, as well as with the still, vegetative and animate parts of nature. Outside of the self-serving perception of reality that our ego gives us, we live in a reality where we are all parts of a single, interconnected and interdependent system. In this system, the ego makes us think and act without considering ourselves as parts of a whole system. Problems and crises proliferate in our world when our egoistic approach to life continues growing, coupled with us becoming increasingly interconnected and interdependent. On the contrary, if we think and act for the benefit of the whole system, where we consider the benefit of others and nature in our every move, then we will enter into balance with nature. When we reach balance with nature, we will experience a major upgrade in life, from a life of increasing problems and crises, to a life of harmony and peace. Based on the video What is the Problem with the Ego? With Kabbalist Dr. Michael Lehtman. Written, edited by students of Kabbalist Dr. Michael Lehtman.